It's approaching 8:09 in the morning. You are listening to Upfront on listener-sponsored KPFA Radio in Berkeley and KFCF in Fresno. I'm Mitch Jesrich, filling in for all the on-air hosts who will be back in a couple of weeks. So you will hear them now and then in those couple of weeks on tape. And when they do come back after next week, Cap Brooks will be back here in the studio with us. So we're very much looking forward to that. Well, now we want to turn to how local governments are responding to the situation that we've been living with in the Bay Area and beyond with all this smoke for these past couple of weeks. And kind enough to join me here in the studio is Dr. Erica Pan. Dr. Erica Pan is the interim health officer and the director of the Division of Communicable Disease Control and Prevention in the Alameda County Public Health Department. Dr. Erica Pan, thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
Appreciate you coming in this morning. Okay, how big of a threat to public health does the Alameda County Department of Health think that this air presents to the people living in within the county?
That's a great question. I think, you know, as was discussed with your earlier guest as well, and as you've seen in the air quality index, when there are potentially prolonged exposures to unhealthy or what's described as very unhealthy in different categories, there are concerns that there could be both short-term effects, especially for sensitive people like young children or the elderly, people with lung disease that can have immediate irritants or even flares of, you know, like an asthma flare. And then the long-term exposures, you know, again, over 2 weeks, I heard the analogies about smoking several cigarettes a day or things like that. So I think there's a lot we want to learn in the Bay Area because it hasn't been a big issue here. But I think the most important things we want to do now is make sure we get messages out to the public about what you can do in the short term to really protect yourself as much as possible.
And what is that then? What is that message?
Yeah, so, and I think the most important things we want people to do is stay indoors as much as possible. And then when you're indoors, you want to think about what the air quality is indoors and what your ventilation systems are. In occupational health, which I am not an occupational health physician, but there is a kind of what we call a hierarchy of controls where you're thinking about, first, you want to do source control. So that actually is, of course, containing the fire, and the firefighters are working diligently. My last understanding is it's at least 65% contained up in Butte County. And then you want to do ventilation. So again, engineering, and we think about this for infectious disease as well or other occupational exposures. And then you want to decrease your exposure. So decrease your exposure by being indoors as much as possible. And then as a last resort, you can potentially consider a mask, but then there are a lot of caveats about masks and making sure you choose the right kind and having a tight seal and making sure that when you're wearing at least an N95 or P100 respirator, that it's not actually harder for you to breathe. Because the good and bad about it is if you have a good tight seal, it actually increases your work of breathing.
Increases your
work of breathing. So if you already have some lung disease, and even myself, when I've worn these, taking care of patients with tuberculosis or other things, it becomes difficult to breathe after a few minutes because it's a very, if you have a really tight seal, which is what you need actually to for it to help protect you from the particulate matter.
Is Alameda County doing anything beyond trying to get out the message you just put out, doing anything beyond that to try to address this air situation?
So I think we've been talking, well, locally, our Healthcare for the Home program has also been trying to post information about where there are indoor sites to try to help our homeless population find places indoors where they can seek refuge and get out of the outdoors. And they've also were able to get masks from an organization called Direct Relief. And they've been, over the last week and a half, been distributing a mask to the homeless in Alameda County.
But also running out of masks.
Yes, which is why I think our messages, and I know there's been some confusion around this, but this is why our messages around masks are, we really, from a public health and a public official steward of scarce resources, really feel like we should be prioritizing those populations that need it the most. And so people who can't get indoors, like the homeless, or people who are essential functions who need to be fighting fires or, you know, doing our public utilities or our law enforcement or, you know, people who actually have to be outdoors for prolonged periods of time need to have that protection. And if we all wear them, then we might be taking that resource away from those who really have to be outdoors. And again, as much as possible, trying to help to get people to indoor safe places.
And we're talking to you about Alameda County, but we could have just as easily, except you agreed to come on, which we appreciate, but we could have, you know, also been talking about San Francisco County. We could have been talking about Marin County. We could have been talking about different places of the Bay Area, probably we'd be asking them the same questions. Mm-hmm. But what was is Alameda prepared for this kind of situation?
I think we could do a lot to be better prepared. I think we have learned a lot over the last several years, and especially in the last year with all the California wildfires. The focus actually statewide at one of our recent statewide local health officers conferences was about wildfires and the public health effects and how to respond both in the local site and then thinking about the air quality. We've had a lot of regional health calls. You mentioned actually the Bay Area. We have actually quite cohesive group called the Association of Bay Area Health Officials, and we actually meet every other month, and we've had a couple conference calls. We have one right after this show to kind of talk about our regional approach, trying to make sure we're all sharing our best lessons learned about what we're learning about our response and trying to be as harmonized as possible so we don't confuse people about our messages. I think this is new for us, and as we all remember last year, there were a few days, but I think you and I were just talking about this has lasted a little longer than I think many of us anticipated. So we are learning a lot, and we are preparing and knowing that unfortunately this is going to happen again as we've seen more wildfires and more bad air quality. So we are working diligently to come up with more protocols and plans to be more prepared in the future.
Yeah, talking about it lasting longer than we thought, we kept hearing reports that it should be blown away. Unfortunately, I guess it's going to be blown somewhere else. But with the rain, I guess some of it will go to the ground, all those issues. But I know I felt I was late to get a mask because I kept thinking, okay, I'll stay in for a couple of days. It's the weekend. I have an air purifier. I'm not going to get a mask. And then it's supposed to go away in a couple of days. And then it's like, oh, bad news. It's going to be with us longer and longer. And was there any way? Is that just the nature of weather?
You know, I am not a weather or air quality specialist, but we have increased our linkages with the Bay Area Air Quality Management District, and they actually have a health officer as well. And so that's another great outcome of this, I think, is that we're now linked in more closely with our local air quality management district and learning how to be in closer contact to help learn about forecasting and predictions and help us all prepare.
So I think like many people, I was stuck at home and bemoaning and groaning about the conditions. I mean, a couple of weeks, a pretty long time. And I was looking for folks to blame on social media, just like everyone else was. And, you know, we began looking at, well, you know, the federal government and issues around climate change to the media, to the meteorologists, but also local government and local government's response. And I seen a lot of people sounding off that local government has not done enough to deal with this situation to help protect its people.
And what kinds of things are you and others wanting to be differently?
I think especially for homeless people, people who we know there are shelters, but oftentimes during the day, people cannot stay in the shelter. So now they're forced outside. I can go down a whole list, but another one would be, you know, a clear message about what should be done, especially with masks. You go outside. Most people don't have masks, but we watch the news, and this is a media issue too. And I think there's plenty of critique to be thrown at the media about how we cover these things. I think people are just looking for a real clear message about what to do in this kind of situation. Understanding the government hasn't been in this situation often, but neither have we.
Yes, I think we have been trying collectively across the Bay Area and the State Health Department to get a lot of messages out. And I think, as you were hearing both earlier with your other guest and as I'm implying, I think there are nuances sometimes that are hard to get and that when they get varied, I do understand that people get sometimes confused if they feel like the messages aren't harmonized. I do think we can do a better job. And, you know, again, in the Bay Area, we have, yes, a housing crisis and we have a homelessness crisis. And so this is certainly a time where that's really, you know, it's shining a light on that and how hard it is to get people indoors and into indoor air shelters. I think there's a lot more, I think, in the future we can do in different areas to work more closely across cities and counties and across different organizations to really push to get more of those resources and get a comprehensive list out So that's something I personally want to commit to do in the future a little bit better. But I think as we talked about also, we're learning this is the first time it's lasted this long in the Bay Area. I do think we've been very diligent about trying to get messages out. We've been sending health alerts. Another thing people can do, and also a balance, is sign up for your local kind of city or county alert program. So, and or you can sign up for the air quality. I believe it's Air Now has a, you can sign up to get a daily update on what is the air quality, especially if there's an alert. So we've been trying to get those messages out, trying to improve getting people to sign up for those. And a lot of those can be based, again, either on your city, or some of them will actually blanket and go out to where you are geographically with where your cell phone is.
Yeah. One theme I see is there's a group in Oakland called Mask Oakland that's been handing out thousands of masks, and it's by activists in Oakland doing this work. And one criticism is they're doing the work that government should do.
And again, I think I've already explained, I think from a government and public health perspective, I feel that we need to be prioritizing these resources and doing masks as a last resort for the people that really can't do all those other measures I mentioned. So again, I think we need to make sure we have prioritized those scarce resources in a situation like this. And this came up, this comes up when there's other, the last pandemic of 2009 and other situations. But we really want to, I think again, as public stewards, we want to prioritize any scarce resources to the people that either are the most vulnerable, don't have other alternatives or resources, or who we really need as a public or local government to be out there helping serve our community in the outdoors. Everyone else, again, needs to try to, as much as we get stir crazy, it's like multiple snow days, you know, in the East Coast or things like that. But, you know, the rest of us need to stay indoors. And I think, you know, for myself, you know, short walks between my car and my house, I am not actually using a mask. I'm not. And there's not actually, as far as I know, there are no approved masks for children. So NIOSH, the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, does not actually approve or clear any masks, N95 or P100 respirators for children.
That's interesting because we're told that they're the ones most at risk along with the elderly.
Right, right. So again, you want to really try to do all those other kind of exposure and source controls. And I think the other concern is that if you just hand out masks and you don't give really detailed instructions about how to wear it appropriately, how to get a tight fit, then we're seeing some people have kind of a false sense of security. And so I have seen people out there running with a mask on, and that is absolutely not what we are recommending.
A mask is not a license to hang out all day.
Right.
Which
exactly.
I thought after I got mine.
Yes.
I was stir
yes.
crazy after being...
Yeah, no, that is exactly right. We really don't want people to think they can wear a mask and that they are protected. Because again, it is really hard to get a tight seal. And I, again, myself can speak from personal experience wearing it and taking care of patients. It really does get quite uncomfortable. And so some of the concerns about, ironically, some of the most vulnerable, if you have heart or lung disease, you know, we do say you need to check with your doctor before wearing one and make sure it's going to be safe, because it can really increase your work of breathing, can increase your respiratory rate, your heart rate. Luckily, in the Bay Area, we're not having issues with heat stress as well, but in areas that are closer to wildfires, when people are wearing masks, it can increase the heat stress. So there are some potential downsides in certain populations. So we just don't want people to see it as the end-all, be-all. And even because if it's not fitting well, and also a lot of people are wearing the wrong kinds of masks. So again, you really want it to say NIOSH, you want it to say N95 or P100, and all of the other masks that, even if they say quote unquote dust mask, are not necessarily helping you from that particulate matter, that 2.5 microns that the other doctor mentioned as well.
It's approaching 8:23 in the morning. This is Upfront. I'm Mitch Jezerich, and we're speaking to Dr. Erica Pond, interim health officer and director of the Division of Communicable Disease Control and Prevention in the Alameda County Public Health Department. We are talking about local government responses to the air situation these past couple of weeks. Dr. Pond, my specialty is actually in federal government, not necessarily local government, but I do want to ask this question, and I don't even know if this is something that the county would do it in and of itself, but has there been any kind of declaration of emergency because of the air, and would something like that be necessary to take more actions?
There has not been a local declaration of emergency because of the air, and there's already been a state declared emergency around the fires. The Department of Health and Human Services also declared a federal health emergency recently. So I don't know of any additional advantages we would have, nor do we feel like this is to that level.
It's not at that level yet.
Yes. That's right.
And yet, I think people will think, well, in the last hour we heard, we don't actually know what the health effects of all of this is going to be. I live in downtown Oakland, a ton of construction going on right now. When I go through there, I see all these construction workers who are outside working. You know, they got their heart rate up, I'm sure, who don't have masks on as well. Would it be worth, because we don't know what the long-term effects of this are going to be, to be extra cautious from the government side?
Well, I think especially for that example of construction workers, if the employer is going to still ask them to work outside during bad air quality days, they should be fit testing those employees for the masks and then providing those masks. So again, when we get fit tested for the health setting, it's actually a procedure where there's a couple different ways it can be done, but it's actually a full procedure where they actually test putting on the mask for you, test if you can, they spray something in the air and see if you can taste it or smell it to see how good of a tight feel it is. And that's really the kind of level ideally you need. There may be some protection if you don't have that tight of a seal, but again, we don't want other people who don't have to be outdoors to be wearing a mask and not know if it's protective and think, and then they're inhaling more of the particulate matter than they would have otherwise. I do think if any employer is requiring employees to be working outdoors, that they should be fit testing those employees and requiring, and then issuing them N95s.
They should be, but can the county mandate them to do so?
Not to my knowledge. I don't believe that's something we are authorized or have the authority to do. I think we can encourage it, and we can continue to do that.
But that, as far as you know, is not in the county's authority to be able to say.
That's correct. I believe that would be more
no construction today.
Correct.
Working outside today.
Right. I think that's. Then there are potentially occupational safety and health sort of regulations that actually may. That may regulate on that, but yeah. At a local county level, we don't have that authority.
Okay, and if you don't know, I don't want to force the issue as well. Do you think for future instances like this, if they do happen, we'll have a different response from local government in the future?
I think it will be hopefully even more coordinated and more efficient. I think, like I said, coming up with and assessing what we'll definitely be doing more hopefully comprehensively is looking countywide at these potential public places people can go and looking more at their air facilities. I think we have a lot to learn about different kinds of buildings, or I have a lot to learn, I'll say for sure, around, and where I need to work more closely with environmental health and occupational health and air quality people to learn more about our public buildings and what we can do about those and shoring them up. I do think the schools issue really brought up how the infrastructure of our schools is clearly needs to be invested in. And we know that on many levels, but I think certainly the buildings themselves as well have had lots of, there are many schools that may not have good air quality, and that's something we should be looking at for the long term.
In the last hour, we had a question from a caller to Dr. Nadal. What does she do in a situation like this? What do you do, Dr. Pond?
I started to mention, I mean, I think, again, I'm just trying to stay indoors as much as possible. You know, I'm going to work, and I have a commercial building where there is air circulation, and keeping our windows and doors closed at home. I am lucky enough to be able to afford an air purifier, although I admit I haven't ordered one in time for probably this particular situation. And that's what I'm doing for my children and my spouse as well. We're just trying to stay indoors as much as possible and get from place to place.
Let me just follow up on the issue of masks here in our final couple of minutes. The county is handing out masks? Is the county, I know there are county supervisors. We were doing a lot of investigation about this yesterday, about where are masks from the county coming from, if the county was at all handing out masks.
So the Healthcare Services Agency has a group called Healthcare for the Homeless that also works with a lot of other community outreach and community partners that serve the homeless, has been providing masks to those organizations. That's the extent of the official, at least for the Healthcare Services Agency.
For homeless folks.
Right, for the homeless folks, exactly. And then again, we've distributed policies within the county about if there are employees that need to be working and they're considered essential functions, that they need to be outdoors for long periods of time, that they should be issued masks. But that's the only thing the Healthcare Services Agency has been doing in the county.
Do you think it should have done more? And I get the idea of, okay, we have limited resources. Here are the people that are most vulnerable, homeless folks who are outside all day, perhaps all night too. But I mean, there's going to be an argument. There are going to be people, I'm sure, thinking, well, why don't we have more masks available in an emergency like this? It could be smoke from the wildfires. It could be a major earthquake that causes massive fires to huge buildings. And we've seen what happened in New York after 9/11. It could be even a terrorist attack, a chemical attack. Shouldn't there be some kind of a supply on hand?
So I think the state health department also has a large supply, and different entities can request those resources, and that's kind of in general how our emergency system works. I failed to mention, I really want to make sure I mention the other area we've been spending a lot of time on across the county, because we end up being a regional resources coordinating center for many different county agencies for the whole region too in California, is not only monitoring the air quality here, but monitoring the situation in Butte County and sending, receiving resource requests to help in Butte County. So again, there's a huge tragedy going on in Butte County with Camp Fire, and we have sent employees to go help in that disaster there. So we've spent a lot of time and energy as well coordinating that and coordinating those resources. So again, I think, you know, that's really the other thing in the sort of bigger picture of where we think we need to be helping and providing resources is those in the most need, or those who are providing essential functions that have to be outdoors or that have to be exposed. And then our approach to others is to really, again, think about these, you know, what are the other things you can do to mitigate? Because the other problem with masks as well is that they can get clogged up, that particulate matter. Yeah. You may have also seen there's not exactly clear guidance or consistent guidance that I've seen, but people say try to use a different one every day. So if you think there's 1.7 million people in Alameda County, how many masks could we have?
3.4 million.
Right? So there's 7 million people in the Bay Area. And if everyone was wearing one and everyone wore one every day, we probably could never have enough masks to really do that. So we have to prioritize that resource. And again, as a government, I mean, people are always going to, there are always going to be inequities in what people can get on their own. But I think our obligation is to help those who have the most need and who need to be prioritized for those functions.
Dr. Erica Pan, thank you for being here.
Sure.
Again, Dr. Erica Pan is the Interim Health Officer and Director of the Division of Communicable Disease Control and Prevention in the Alameda County Public Health Department.